Okay, tonight, of course, is Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. I want to wish everyone a meaningful Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and hopefully this is the beginning. This is the beginning of 3 weeks of getting closer and closer to Geula. But as we know, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, of course, is a fast day. Tomorrow is a fast day, and we're commemorating five different things that took place on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, each one really representing a different aspect of Chorban. On Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we know the first luchos were broken. On Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, we know that Yerushalayim was breached, was the walls of Yerushalayim were penetrated. During Bayis Rishon, it was probably on the 9th of Tammuz. And Bayis Sheni, it was Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. A Sefer Torah was burnt. An idol was erected in the Beis HaMikdash. But one of the things that I come back to every year and think about, and it's so much connected to this week's parsha, is the fifth thing that happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And that was the Bittul, the secession of the bringing of the Karban Tamid. We had brought the Karban Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash, and we were no longer able to bring the Karban Tamid in the Beis HaMikdash. The Apter Rav, the Ohev Yisrael, one of the great tzaddikim of Chassidus, was approached one time by a fellow who was complaining to him about how difficult his life was. And he was saying, you know, Rebbe, I have this problem, and I have that problem. And he's going on and on about everything that's happening in his life, and in particular, everything that had happened to him that day, and what a difficult day it was, and how he lost his job, and how his daughter's shidduch fell through, and he's going on and on, everything terrible that happened that day. And the Apter Rav is listening. It's called the Ohev Yisrael, so obviously he loved Jews very, very much. Apter Rav was sitting there, he's listening, and he said, "You forgot something." So he said, "What? What did I forget?" He said, "You forgot something terrible that happened today, a tragedy that happened today." So he said, "What? I think that was everything." So he says, "No, you forgot to mention that we didn't bring the Karban Tamid today." And the fellow looks at him and he's thinking like, "Yeah, I mean, we haven't brought the Karban Tamid in a long time." But the Apter Rav said to him, "That's part of the tzaras we're supposed to feel every day. We didn't bring the Karban Tamid today." And Shiva Asar B'Tammuz was the day that the Karban Tamid stopped. Now, for us, when we talk about Karbanos, when we come back to Karbanos, it's been a while since we really immersed ourselves in Karbanos. Chumash Vayikra was full of Karbanos. And now, at the end of our Parsha, Parsha's Pinchas, not by chance, as we enter into the 3 weeks, we learn about the Karban Tamid. And we learn about a whole variety of Karbanos. And it's very foreign to us. The world of Karbanos is very strange to us. But I want to make us feel a little bit what the Apter Rav was saying to that fellow, which is, friends, we didn't bring the Karban Tamid today. And that should bother us deeply. In addition to everything else that didn't work out, you know? Someone was going to lend us their pool this afternoon, and then it rained, you know? Okay, so that was also a tragedy in our home. It should be the biggest problem that we have, right? And we're painting one of the rooms upstairs. You know, so I got a little paint on the ceiling in a spot that I shouldn't have. Okay, halavai, that should be our biggest tzara. Right? But we also didn't bring the Karban Tamid today. And that should weigh on us, that should bother us. It seems foreign to us, but it has to bother us. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh asks, and it was just the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's yahrzeit, just the other night was the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's yahrzeit. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, what else happens in this week's Parsha? In this week's Parsha, we learn how Yehoshua is going to be appointed to take over for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe is very worried, what's going to happen to me when I'm gone? Who's going to lead Klal Yisrael? They're going to be left like sheep without a shepherd. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe, I want Yehoshua to be the one to take over. The Rachaim HaKadosh asks a question we wouldn't have even thought was a question. What's the connection between all of the Karbanos at the end of the Parsha and the appointment of Yehoshua to lead Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael? So to answer that question, to try to make sense of what's the connection between Yehoshua's appointment and Karbanos, let's try to sensitize ourselves a little bit to why we should feel that not having Karbanos in the world is actually a really, really big deal. We know, we understand, there's one thing we do understand, at least as an idea, if we don't feel it, but we know it to be true. The world stands on three pillars. We know from Pirkei Avos, Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. What is Avoda? We think of Avoda as Tefillah, which it is, Avoda Beis HaMikdash, but Avoda, of course, also means Karbanos. It's the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash in the form of bringing Karbanos. And that's one of the pillars upon which the world stands. And therefore, yes, we have Tefillah, Baruch Hashem, hopefully we daven today, that's one way to keep the world going, but we're missing, the world is shaky without Karbanos, we don't have the Karban Tamid. And that's a serious problem. Listen to the words of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, who asks a very interesting question in this week's Parsha. We know that we bring karbanos. We're talking about the Karban Tamid, but we also learn in this week's Parsha about the karbanos that we bring on Shabbos. So time out. Bringing karbanos on Shabbos? How do you bring a karban on Shabbos? Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky writes in the Emes Liakov, it seems like it's Chilul Shabbos. Right? Would you shecht an animal and make a barbecue in your backyard on Shabbos? Of course not. It's a violation of Shechita. A violation of many other malachos, possibly, right? And yet, in the Beis Hamikdash, they're busy. They're cooking and they're chopping and they're shechting. So Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky wonders, why is that? Why does Hashem allow us to bring karbanos in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos? Ein litmua de'echi tochein shi'etzav kodesh baruch al avoda b'shabbosos. Don't be surprised, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. It shouldn't be a question to us at all that we're allowed to bring karbanos on Shabbos. You know why? He says, if you look in the Medrash, the Midrashim wonder about other things that Hashem does which seem to be Chilul Shabbos. For example, did it ever rain on Shabbos? It rains on Shabbos. So you know what the Medrash asks? How could God make it rain on Shabbos? No, what do you think the question is? Corey, you're the only one with a screen on, so I can pick on you. What do you think the question is? Well, what's the problem with it raining on Shabbos? You could say, well, God, how could God water the plants on Shabbos, right? Zoreya, watering, planting, is a malacha on Shabbos. The Medrash says a different problem. It's a problem of hotzah. Hashem is carrying from one rishus to another rishus when he brings water from up there down here. So the Medrash says, no, it's not hotzah. It's not traveling from one domain to another domain. Why? Because the whole world is his. So Hashem's not going from point A to point B. What about the other problem that I just mentioned? What about the fact that you're watering plants on Shabbos? Why did the Medrash not focus on that? It says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, because watering plants is critical for survival of the world. In other words, it's almost a pikuach nefesh shayla, right? It's pikuach nefesh for Hashem not to water the plants if he determines that it's appropriate to water plants on Shabbos. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, listen to this. You know why we're allowed to bring karbanos on Shabbos? V'hainu mishum de karbanos hu inyan shel kiyam ha'olam kulo. It's so hard for us to relate to. But Shivasar Batamas was the day the karban tamid stopped being brought. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, karbanos keep the world standing. It's one of the pillars of the world. V'keivan shechein ha'avoda she'echad me'amudei ha'olam, al-kein or al-karchach, i'efshar levat la'afilu sha'achas. On Shabbos, we have to have karbanos. It's one of the pillars upon which the world stands. So says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, it's not a question at all. It's a matter of life and death to have karbanos. And now we're starting to feel a little bit, wow, it is a tragedy. Like the After Rav said, like the After Rav was able to say to that chassid who was complaining about everything that went wrong in his day, we didn't bring the karban tamid today. You have to think about that. You have to pause for a minute and think about that. So now let's go back to the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's question. What's the connection between Yehoshua being appointed and the discussion of karbanos at the end of our parsha? So if you look in the Nesivos Shalom in this week's parsha, the Slan Merebi says, I'll tell you the answer. The Noam Elimelech tells us in Parshas Noach that every generation has its focus. Every generation has its mitzvah. The Noam Elimelech said in his time, the mitzvah of his generation was the mitzvah of tzitzis. Okay, interesting. All right, tzaddikim of our time have said that maybe the focus is amuna, maybe the focus in our time is chinuch habanim, is educating our banos, educating our sons and daughters, educating the next generation in Torah and mitzvos. What would you say was the avoda of Moshe Rabbeinu's generation? Torah. Moshe was the greatest teacher of Torah. Zichru Torahs Moshe. Moshe is to die. And Moshe is handing over the reins to Yehoshua. So if Moshe is Torah, what is Yehoshua? And says the Nesiv HaShalom, Yehoshua is the door as we enter into Eretz Yisrael and we're starting to head towards Eretz Yisrael to build an Eretz Yisrael as a generation. Yehoshua was the door of Avoda. He brings an interesting proof of this. It says in Sefer Yehoshua, Parachav Dalid, the Pasuk says, Vaya'avod Yisrael es Hashem kol yemei Yehoshua. Vaya'avod. The Jewish people were Osek in Avoda, kol yemei Yehoshua. Yehoshua is the door of Avoda. So what does that mean for us? So says the Nesiv HaShalom, really answering the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's question, what does the appointment of Yehoshua have to do with karbanos? It's one and the same. Yehoshua is the one who's going to teach us how to be involved in Avoda. It's no longer just the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu's generation, but it's the Avoda of Yeshua's generation on the way into Eretz Yisrael. But what does that mean for us? Lamaisa, what does that mean for us? And how does it connect to us? That was the generation of Yeshua. But I think it has a lot to do with us because that's what we're talking about these next 3 weeks. We're also trying to figure out how to get to Eretz Yisrael. And those of us who are in Eretz Yisrael are trying to figure out how to get Eretz Yisrael the way it's supposed to be. We want Geula, we want a Beis HaMikdash. So we have to be like that generation of Yeshua, that generation of Avoda. So what does that mean for us? Says the Nesiv HaShalom, Hinei Shorish V'HaMekor LaAvodas Hashem Mitoch Avoda V'Yagia Hu Avodas HaKarbanos. My friends, we may not be able to bring Karbanos. We shouldn't bring Karbanos. It would be a big problem if we tried in our homes to bring Karbanos outside the Beis HaMikdash. Would be a terrible Avera. But says the Nesiv HaShalom, working hard for Hashem in Avodas Hashem, in the most literal and simple translation of the word avoda, forget avoda Beis HaMikdash, forget tefillah in place of avoda. The simple word avoda means to work harder for Hashem, and that's really the avoda that we're trying to work on these next couple of weeks. Yeah, Hashem, we're always working for you. We try to work for you. We try to take our lives seriously. We try to take our avoda Hashem seriously. But for these next couple of weeks, the 3 weeks, we get a little bit more focused. We focus a little bit more on working a little bit harder for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I can't bring a Karban Tamid, but I can try for the next couple of weeks with a sense of tmidus, with a sense of consistency, of daily commitment, to do something a little bit more, to think a little bit more about Yerushalayim, to think a little bit more about the Beis HaMikdash, to think a little bit more about the Sinas Chinam that got us into this mess to begin with. There's so many things that we can do. And to be able to bring the Karban Tamid, not in a literal sense, but like the Pasuk says, Tishmeru lahakriv li. Tishmeru lahakriv li. The Sefer Chassidus explain that the word Tishmeru doesn't only mean to keep watch, but like it says by Yaakov Avinu, Va'aviv Shamaras Hadavar, means to look forward to something. Look forward to when we'll be Zocha to actually bring Karbanos. But in the interim, what we can do is we can try to what? We could try to work a little harder for Hashem. We could try to be a little bit more focused. We can do what the Teferet Shlomo of Radamsk says in Parshas Vayikra, Adam ki akriv mikem, karban lahashem, min habehema min habakar. If an animal can be transformed into a karban, if an animal can give itself over to Hashem, so can't we with our neshama and our minds and our Torah and our mitzvos, can't we do something for Hashem? Adam ki akriv mikem, when a person brings from himself as a karban to Hashem. There was a beautiful story I saw a number of years ago. Rav Yitzchak Zilber, where did I put that picture of him? Rav Yitzchak Zilber was one of the great, I didn't actually see the story in this book, it's called To Remain a Jew. This is Rav Yitzchak Zilber. Rav Yitzchak Zilber, they say, was one of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. It's a beautiful book. Rav in Russia, one of the great Rebbeim of Russian Jewry. Someone who came to Eretz Yisrael in the 1970s, but for the years prior to that, he was born in 1917, and he passed away in 2004. Rav Yitzchak Zilber gave his life to try to educate and to try to fight for Yiddishkeit, Mamish, and in communist Russia, when it was really tough to be a Jew. And that's why the title of the book is To Remain a Jew. His personal Mesiras Nefesh is remarkable. What he gave up, what he sacrificed to be able to teach Torah and to be able to keep Torah is unbelievable. But I saw a story about Rav Yitzchak Zilber, who after he made Aliyah in 1972, would sneak back into Russia on occasion, in order to be able to continue his clandestine work, to try to educate Jews, try to be mechazek Jews. Very, very secretive work. And he said one time he came back to Russia, and all of a sudden he's walking, he's wherever he is, he's somewhat undercover, and all of a sudden this peasant of a Jew comes running over to him, and he says, Rav Yitzchak, is that really you? So he says, yeah, it is me. It's you. He said, oh, Rav Yitzchak, I'm so happy to see you. Rav Yitzchak, I have a question for you. So he says, what's your question? So he says, Rav Yitzchak, do you remember? He says, yeah, I remember you from back in the day. Yeah, I haven't seen you in a long time. How long has it been? So he says, 7 years. I haven't seen you in 7 years. Wow, 7 years. And he said, and I've been waiting 7 years to ask you this question. So Rav Zilber says, wow, that's unbelievable. They've had this question. So I'm so happy to try to answer the question for you. What is it? And he says, wait here. So he runs back to his house, and he comes back, and he has this winter coat. And he says, Rav Yitzchak, 7 years ago, you could see the coat, it was freezing cold Russian winter. He's wearing this rag of a coat. And he has in his hands this new coat that he has saved up to buy. So he says, Rav Yitzchak, I bought this coat 7 years ago, but I was never able to ask you if I'm allowed to wear it. because there was no one to check it for Shatness. So Rav Zilber says to him, whoa, what are you saying? You're telling me you've had this code in your possession for the last 7 years. You went through seven Russian winters with that rag of a coat that you have from who knows when because you weren't able to ask me to check. He said, Shatness, you taught us about Shatness. You taught us that you can't have linen in the wool, and I don't know how to check the coat for linen in the wool. So I've been waiting to meet someone who could do it, and it's been 7 years. It's been sitting in my home for 7 years, waiting for someone to come along with the skill set to be able to check it. And Rav Zilber said, and this was a person who knew what Mesiras Nefesh was, but he said it blew his mind to think that a Jew for 7 years could suffer through those cold winters with Mesiras Nefesh. That's bringing a carbon to Hashem. That's part of a carbon tamid. Can you imagine day in and day out the temptation to wear that coat? And by the way, any normal Rav would have told him, you're allowed to wear the coat. It's pikuach nefesh not to wear the coat. But this pashut Russian Jew, this Russian peasant of a Jew, who was such an illuminated soul, wanted so badly to do the right thing, that for 7 years he waited to meet Rav Zilber in order to ask him if he could wear the coat. But I want to end tonight with one other comment, one other point about the Karban Tamid, which I think is really, really quite remarkable. It's half a Rashi in our parsha, but I want to give you the whole story, because Rashi doesn't give you the whole story. When the Torah introduces the Karbanos in Perek Chaf Ches, and it tells us again about this Karban Tamid that's supposed to be brought twice a day, and you wonder, what is the connection between Karbanos and the appointment of Yeshua? Again, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh's question that we're trying to address in part tonight. Rashi is also alluding to this question. Because how does Perek Chaf Ches begin? Tzav es B'nai Yisrael. Command B'nai Yisrael. Listen to Rashi. Ma amur lamala, command B'nai Yisrael to bring karbanos. What was said right before this? Yifkod Hashem. Moshe says to Hashem, I need you to appoint someone who's going to take care of Klal Yisrael. Listen to Rashi. What's the connection between Yeshua taking over and the karbanos that we're learning about in Perek Chaf Ches? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad sha'ata mitzaveini al banai, tzavei es banai alai. Rather than you command me about my children, command my children about me. Well, what's Rashi talking about? Rashi gives a mashal. It's based on the Medrash. Mashal labas melech, a mashal of the daughter of a king, shaisa nifteres min ha'olam, who's about to die. And she says to her husband, haisa mifakedes labala, she tells her husband, as this Jewish woman is about to pass away, she says to her husband, al baneha v'chulu, she says, this about her children, etc. Kedisa b'sifrei, as it says in the Medrash. What's Rashi talking about? It gives us half a story. So if you look in the Medrash tells us the whole story. The Medrash says it's not the daughter of the king, but it's actually the king's wife is about to die. And she turns to her husband, the king, and she says, listen, when I'm gone, I need you to take care of the kids. So, like too many a husband, the husband says, I don't know how to take care of the kids. All right, you take it. You're so good. You're the mother. You're so good at taking care of the kids. So the mother says, well, I'm not going to be here anymore, so it's time for you to step up your game. You're going to have to start cooking, you're going to have to start doing laundry, and all the things that maybe you've relied on me for all these years to do, to help the kids with their homework, because you come home late from work, whatever it is. Again, I hope I'm not being too stereotypical here, but right, whatever it is, you know, and now I'm not going to be around anymore. You have to take care of the kids. So you should know this one has a nut allergy and this one needs extra help with homework and here's the carpool schedule and, you know, here are all the things you need to know. Okay, so she tells her husband, make sure you take care of the kids. But then her husband says the following to her, and here's what the Medrash says and this is what Rashi's alluding to. The husband says back to his wife, he says, my dear wife, I'm only realizing now how much you did for the children. And you're asking me to take over. And of course, if that's your dying request, of course, I mean, they're my kids also. Of course, I'm going to take care of the kids. But I also realize that when you're gone, who's going to take care of me? There's so much you do for me that I'm worried for myself as well. I'm worried about the kids. Of course, I'm worried about the kids. They're losing their mother, Rahman al-Itzlan. But I'm also losing my wife, and who's going to take care of me? Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem, I'm about to die. Who's going to take care of the kids? I need you to appoint someone. And Yeshua becomes the chosen one. But says the Medrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says back to Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe, thank you for looking out for the children, but who's going to take care of me now that you're gone, Moshe Rabbeinu? Who's, can you imagine? Hashem is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's going to look out for me when you, Moshe Rabbeinu, are gone? And it's with that in mind, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe Lemor, Tzavis B'nai Yisrael. The same way you're telling me, look out for Klal Yisrael when you're gone, I'm telling you, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm scared Klal Yisrael's going to forget about me. Once you're gone, I'm scared that, like the Pasuk says at the end of the Chumash, Ki avienu ala adama asher nishbati lavosav, when I bring them into the land of Eretz Yisrael, zavas chalav devash, and they're going to settle into the land, they're going to get comfortable. Ufano el Elohim acherim va'avdum, they're going to start to serve idols. I'm scared I'm going to lose Klal Yisrael. So to the same degree that what? That we're begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe is begging Hashem, as Moshe is no longer, please, I need you to help take care of Klal Yisrael, Hashem says back to Moshe, and I need you to take care of me. My friends, what a beautiful lesson for us to think about as we begin the 3 weeks. These are 3 weeks where we start to really, hopefully, become more sensitive and aware of the fact that we're begging Hashem, Hashem, we really need you to take care of us. You know why? Because now all of the suffering of Jewish history is coming into focus. We're thinking about the Chorban. We're thinking about all the tragedies of history. And as we get closer to the 9 days, as we get closer to Tisha B'Av and Halavai, none of it should happen this year. But historically, as we go through that process, it gets more intense and it gets more focused and the pain is that much more real. And we want to scream out to Hashem, save me from all of this suffering. And Hashem says back to us, hold on a second, there's a partnership here. I need you to save me also. I'm also suffering without a Beis HaMikdash. I'm also suffering without a Karban Talmud being brought every day. Like the Aftarov told that Jew who's complaining about all the tsaras in his life, so many things I need Hashem to help me. Hashem also needs you to bring a Karban Talmud. Hashem also doesn't want to be forgotten. And therefore it's so important that as we turn it up a notch during these days of Avoda, these days of longing for Karbanos, as again we read about them in this Parsha, to try to awaken that feeling of connection, that longing for Karbanos. We have to remember that the Karbanos is, that self-sacrifice is part of saving a Kodesh Baruch Hu, is making sure that Hashem's name is felt in the world. It's not about just having a Beis HaMikdash to save us from all of the oppression that the Jewish people feel, but it's to save a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I leave you with a Gemara in Brachos on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. B'shash Yisrael nechnasin labate knesios labate midrashos. When we walk into our shuls and we walk into the Beis Medrash, and hopefully we have more opportunities to do that, and hopefully it'll continue that way, and Halavai will come to the big Beis Medrash, the big Beis Knesses, the Beis Hamikdash, and we're owning Yehei Shmei Hagadol Mevayrach. When we call out, Amen Yehei Shmei Rabba. What are we saying? I mean, Yehei Shmei HaGadol, his great name should be blessed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Klal Yisrael is thinking about me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu menaneya b'rosho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nods his head, va'omer ashrei ha-melech shemekalsin aso b'beiso. Wow, how fortunate is the king who receives the praises of, is praised in such a way in his home. All right, look how my children are talking about me. Malo la'av shehigla es bonav. Woe to the father who's exiled his children. Woe to the children who've been kicked off of their father's table. So at that moment that we become focused and we say, Hashem, we want your name to be great in the world again, Hashem says, wow, Klal Yisrael is thinking about me, and in turn, I'm going to continue to think about them. So again, we have our mission statement for these next couple of weeks. And again, it's found right here in the Parsha, and so beautifully woven into the tragedy of Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the Bittul Karban Tamid. Let's try to understand how we can bring Karbanos to Hashem with self-sacrifice. And again, simply by thinking about Hashem, remembering HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember us, and Amir Tzashem, we will be Zocha in turn, to come back to Yerushalayim, to overturn all of the Chorban, and to be able to scream out, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivorach, in the Beis HaMikdash from Herabi Aminu Amen. Have an amazing night. Thank you very much for tuning in. And have a meaningful fast tomorrow.